Oh, great.
You got the hiccups? And
I do.
Boo. I'm trying to think of something really scary.
We lose to Georgia.
No, no. Who's the Arkansas running back that's running on this?
White Rocket Entertainment. White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 433.
We welcome you to Jordan-Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
Let's watch some football. Now everybody, come on everybody.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, yo, yo. Let's watch some football.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with AwarEagleReader.com. Man, I can't talk tonight. And by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer, who can talk tonight.
Yeah, well, John, I'll let you talk more then, because I'm having a phlegm. I was having the hiccups right before we went on the air. I may save a snippet of that for our little audio lead-in thing, but this is a busy, busy time around the AU Wishbone. This is about as busy of a time as we get every year, because we're about to do, in just a few days, this is Monday night as we speak, so in less than 3 days, we will all be here in our area loading up and heading south. And on Friday, which is November the 15th, I'll be rolling in just in time, hopefully, for the 1 o'clock Central Time Friday live video show from the Auburn Bookstore in Haley Center, our second year in a row of doing it. And it's very exciting. What do you think?
It was a lot of fun last year, and I'm excited to do it again. It's going to be a lot of energy on campus, so that'll be fun. And so if you're in the area and you want to come by, come on by.
Last year, it's like when you and I compare our schedules and we look at everything that's going on, last year the game that really worked out the best for us to do was Arkansas, which wasn't the most exciting game ever. I mean, we got a win and all that, and it was great to be there. And it was a warmer weather game, which was kind of nice in a way, although it was kind of hot. But when we were setting up this year, months ago, we were looking at the schedule and saying, if we do it again this year, which one are we going to go to? It was like there were only like two games that either I wasn't going to be at a convention or, you know, you could go, or most of it, I think, was my issues, honestly. And it kind of ended up being the Georgia game was pretty much the only option. And at the time, we were kind of dubious about that, but it's worked out pretty darn well, hasn't it?
It is, and I'm excited. To see Auburn play Georgia in person. We'll talk a lot about this. I hate Georgia, and so I'm very excited about being there for that game.
Oh, yeah. I went to every Auburn-Georgia game pretty much between the years 1987 and 2003. I either was in Auburn or I lived in Lawrenceville, Georgia, which is like 25 minutes down Highway 316. So it was a really easy game to go to from either direction. And the last, in fact, 2003 was the last away game I went to, but the last Auburn-Georgia game I attended in person was 2004. And I really had to do some thinking to figure that out because, I mean, I clearly remember going to that game, and I would have sworn I've been to one or two since then. But the 2004, which was a pretty darn good one to end on, honestly, I wish I'd gone over for 2005 in Athens, too, But that's the last time I went. What was the last time you saw Auburn, Georgia in person?
Longer ago than that.
Really?
I've seen Alabama, Auburn in person a couple times since then.
Wow.
But I've not seen Auburn, Georgia in person since it was the late 90s.
Wow. Yeah. It was just like I said, I just happened to live really close to them. I was at the 2005 and 2007 Alabama games in Auburn, and those 07 was the last Alabama game I went to, but those were both wins, so that's fine. So We'll be at the AU bookstore. Come by 1 o'clock. We're going to be doing the live show from about 1 to 2 with our executive producer, technician Auburn Elvis, once again in the house. And then after that, at some point afterward, we'll be doing another book signing, right?
Yes. Book signing in the Auburn bookstore with Ken Ringer, author of Lorindo. So you can come, and as we said last week, bring anything and we'll sign it. If you already own one of our books and you want us to bring it now, if you own another book or you want to buy another book, you want us to sign it, we'll do that.
Yeah, the bookstore will have copies of Decades of Dominance on hand. That's the one that people usually want. And I'm probably going to bring down a little stack of maybe some Vegas Heist, because people, that's the one that people usually want of mine other than the football book. I'll probably bring that. And I sold a couple last year, so I'll bring a couple this time. Also, we will be having, hopefully, if everything works out, Brandon Marcello will be back again. He's our special guest every year on the podcast, but he was our extra special guest for the video show last year, and that was awesome. And so we'll have Brandon back. And we're also going to do our drawing that we've been talking about for weeks, right? We kept saying that, you know, we were in October, we were saying we would do a drawing for prizes from our patrons. And if you were a patron by the time of the drawing, as long as you were still a patron after the month ended, that you would be in the hopper. And so I printed out little slips of paper for all our patrons with their name and their email address. And so we will draw out maybe 4 or 5, how many ever. And we have some very special prizes. Jared's got some stuff cooked up. We got some stuff that we can send. Basically, my idea was, you know, everybody has different tastes and likes different things. And so, you know, one of the patrons might be somebody that only supports our White Rocket shows, like, you know, the White Rocket podcast or Jared's Comics with Normies or something. But, you know, the others are more likely to be Auburn people. So we'll have a little bit of everything that we can offer. So we'll do that drawing live on the video. And then we'll talk about the Georgia game, and because that'll be the day before. And I guess that's, and we'll have, you know, listener questions and everything else. And I've cooked. Last year we had a special visit by the coach. And so this year I'm thinking that we may have a visit from. The most interesting coach in the world. There it is.
Outstanding.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
So if you have questions that you want us, you know, between now and then, that you want to ask us, that you want us to read and answer on air at the live show, send them in. We're going to send out the link, social media and that kind of stuff. You'll be able to watch it, and we'll email it out to people too. You will be able to watch it live from wherever you are, or watch the recording later. So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
That'll be awesome. And then after all that, on Friday night, we're going to go to the basketball game. And so we were thinking about, and I'll just kind of lay it out for folks, because we've been doing all this kind of on the fly. We put a lot of planning into some things and not nearly enough planning into others. It's just how it goes. And so we were talking about maybe since we won't be able to do a go out and hang out at the bar this year, in all likelihood, instead we were talking about maybe meeting up at halftime of the basketball game with anybody that happens to be at the basketball game that's one of our listeners, patron or not, just one of our listeners. And I was kind of wishing we could have like some kind of little prizes to give away, but we just really don't have time. I thought of it too late. John looked into it. We had to order like a million of something, and it just, you know, it wouldn't be, I don't think, a good use of our patron money. So we're not going to do that. But if you want to just say hi and hang out for a little bit at halftime, maybe we'll announce on the live show or something and tweet it out and post it on the Facebook and all that.
We'll pick a spot.
Yeah. So that might be fun just to say, hey.
Yeah.
So, anything else about our big event coming up Friday?
No, other than, you know, if you're going to be around, feel free to come by. If you're not going to be in town, watch the live show and let us know what you think.
And it'll be up on the YouTube, on our YouTube channel, you know, live. And then after it's over, it'll be up recorded. Which reminds me, we've been doing now 2 Sundays in a row of our live video show that we do remotely from here, from our studios, from our homes. And so if you haven't been seeing that, check that out. What I've been doing is we've done our live, just what we've done is, if you haven't seen it, is that John and I have been on our live video show with kind of two things in mind. One is we talk about stuff other than what we're going to talk about on the Monday night show, which is the show right now, which is usually more upcoming game oriented, right? So we, like yesterday, we talked about Alabama-LSU a good bit. And we talked about like the top 10, you know, rating our own playoff rankings, which was a lot of fun, but it's something we don't have 45 minutes to do on our Monday night show. So check that out.
Van, the listeners want a 4-hour podcast.
They do, but we can't do it. But I've already edited the audio from it, and it'll go up like Thursday morning, I think. Okay. So I don't want it to compete with this show and draw listeners away from our regular Monday night show, but people have said they really enjoy getting to hear it if they couldn't watch it on video. So bless their hearts. So, you know, there it goes. It'll be up as a bonus probably Thursday morning on our regular feed. So, well, we've got a big, big ball game coming up on Saturday, and it's not as quite as big maybe if we hadn't lost to LSU or hadn't had to play Florida and lose to them, but it's still huge because, and I want to talk to you about this when we talk about Georgia, there's a whole lot of dislike for Georgia in the Auburn family these days, way more than I've ever seen before. It feels like more Auburn people dislike Georgia now than ever have before, to the point that a lot of particularly younger Auburn fans are saying that they consider Georgia now as bigger of a rival than Alabama. So I wanted to kind of get your take on that. What is going on? Have you seen that? And why is that happening?
For some reason, I do think the rivalry has gotten uglier,
yeah.
You know, more dislike between the two teams and the two fan bases.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the 80s, early 90s, it was kind of this, we beat each other, but we didn't really hate them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like the same, like we didn't feel the way about them we feel about Alabama. And I think some things have happened over time. You know, I think the stuff with Nick Fairley and the quarterback in Georgia and them whining about it afterward. I think the Soldier Boy, Georgia players dancing kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then Auburn putting it back at them in 2017 when we crushed them here. I think those kind of things add up and make the rivalry kind of what it is. I think it has moved. And I think so for younger fans who've only been in it for a shorter amount of time, that's what they feel and see, this kind of more venomous relationship.
I also feel like when a rivalry is as even as ours was with Georgia for so long, I mean, it was like the world's most even rivalry. Mm-hmm. It was like when we had played them like 110 times, it was like 54-54-2 or something, you know, it was just insane.
Yes, yes. And the total points were close.
Yeah, the total points was like within 20 or something ridiculous, yeah. But I would argue that a rivalry gets more intense when one side starts to win a lot and yet the other side doesn't feel like that's normal. In other words, Vanderbilt doesn't have a super intense rivalry with everybody, even though they lose all the time. But if Auburn and Georgia trade back and forth as we did for like decades when you and I were, you know, in high school and college, it kind of everybody was satisfied. Well, we win every other year, you know. But when one side irrationally seems to be dominating the series, you know, then the one that's being dominated but doesn't feel like they should be being dominated gets really angry about that. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm sure LSU has considered Alabama their biggest rivalry of all time the last 10 years because LSU thought there's no way in the world we should be losing every year to Alabama. It's kind of the same thing, right? You know what I mean?
Yes, but and I think it's – I mean, not every teams that play each other is a rivalry, right? Like there's some
right.
teams that Auburn plays, but it's not really a rivalry. But this is a rivalry. It's been a rivalry for a long time. And I think what you said makes a lot of sense. I'm sure the Georgia people wouldn't say it was irrationally winning. Sure they would say like we were due to win these games because in their mind they were better than us,
yeah.
as opposed to in our minds like they won some games that where we had the better team.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think you need those two factors. You need for one side to be winning a lot, and you need for the side that's losing to think this is not right, because that mm-hmm. makes them angry. you know, I bet that like the first 4 or 5 years that Alabama was beating Tennessee on their current streak, Tennessee was like all up in arms about it, and this is our big rival. But see, now we're to the point that Tennessee is just kind of like, you know, they just expect it. So like if we lost to Georgia for 15 years straight, by the end of that 15th year, we would be kind of like, well, I guess that's what we are now, you know. We wouldn't be happy about it, but
that's right.
But whereas if you lose like 4 out of 5 or whatever, you know, we've lost way too many to them in the last 10 years. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Last 15 years. And that, but yet not to the point that we're beaten down yet. We're just really indignant about it. So that's to me why it's become a bigger rivalry. Whereas with Alabama, it almost is to the point that every other team is kind of like, you know, that's just what happens. So,
I think that what you said makes a lot of sense, and I think it's that combined with this on the field stuff talked about that's made it more spicy.
Yeah, that exactly. That's the spice. Yeah, you've already got the pot boiling, and then you throw in some spice of people dancing and calling each other names and all. It was a big. It had become a big rivalry for me when I lived in Lawrenceville all those years, because everybody around me in my office was Georgia fans, and they were all, you know, up in arms about it. And man, when we would beat Georgia, it's like beating Alabama made me feel like the good Lord was looking out for us and everything was right in the world. But when we would beat Georgia, I felt like I could go to work, you know? I didn't have to call in sick for a couple of days. I could go to work and hold my head high, and they'd all slink around, you know? So, yeah, interesting. So we've got a newly intense rivalry, I guess, in Auburn, and we're playing this Georgia team that, honestly, John, I went back and found my notes from before the barbecue show, and I was 50-50 on this game in August, in July. Mm-hmm. And we were Mira asked me today, what are you feeling about the Georgia game percentage-wise? And I said, I'm still 50-50. It hasn't changed. I mean, it's the circumstances around it keep changing over the weeks and months, but yet my feeling, the numbers in my head have not moved, because I still have no idea. Will we be able to establish any offense on them? It'll be tough. Will they be able to establish any offense on us? It'll be tough. So, you know, I mean, I still feel totally 50-50 on this game.
That's good. That's fair. You used to hit on a key point, which is it's going to be tough sledding for both offenses in this game.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed the fireworks in last week's LSU-Alabama game, then I'm glad, but you're not going to see that on Saturday.
Nope.
It is not going to be the same. I think when LSU score 46, I think we'll be lucky if both teams combined score 46.
I don't think they will, no.
I don't think they will either. I think the loser of this game is going to have below 20.
Yes. Yep.
So I think that's a big thing. It's a different kind of game. We talked, and it creates different kinds of incentives and strategies in the game. We talked before the LSU game about how good their offense was and how that means you have to go for touchdowns and that kind of stuff. And that is not the case in this game. This is going to be a lower scoring game. And so field position and field goals and that kind of stuff are going to matter more.
In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say, not a score prediction or anything, I'm so 50-50 on this game, and I so agree it's going to be low scoring. I predict this game goes to overtime.
Mm.
There it is. There it is. There is our
factoid of the week.
Factoid.
And not only that, not only that.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
And I say you. Oh, my God.
There you go. I pulled out all the stops on that one, man. It's going to overtime. And that's why it's 50-50 to me. I think it's 50-50 because they're going to – it won't be 50-50. It'll be 5-5 or something, but it'll go to overtime, tied up at maybe 17-17 or 13-13 maybe, 20-20 if they really get crazy with the offense. And then somebody's winning this game 27-23. And that's in overtime. I think it'll be only like, I think it'll be 17-17 or 20-20. So if it's 17-17, 24-20 in overtime.
All right. I'm going to do my best to give you some hope that it won't go to overtime.
All right. Let's do it.
So from the beginning of the year, I have pointed to this game as the game among the big three teams on Auburn's schedule that we had the best chance to beat. Mm-hmm. And that is because Georgia is a team that wants to focus on running the ball. And against Auburn's defense, that is the kind of team we want to play, and our strength goes against what they're trying to do.
Yes.
They aren't suddenly going to start doing what LSU did. That's not who they are. How good is this Georgia team? I mean, they're very good. They have excellent special teams. Their defense is outstanding. Offensively, they're kind of blah, I'm going to be honest. Yeah. They have an experienced quarterback. They have a good running back and a good offensive line. But they've lost all their receivers and their tight end from last year. And they really kind of struggled at those positions. They have one really good receiver, a guy named Lawrence Cager, who is a transfer from Miami. Mm-hmm. He's a big physical guy. He missed three games, including the South Carolina game. And that was a big reason they struggled then. But he came back for that Florida game and he caught all those third down passes you were thinking about.
Gosh, yes.
And he got hurt last week against Missouri. Maybe the same shoulder that caused him to miss the three games and left the game.
Mm.
And they said today he was expected to practice, but I'm skeptical.
I don't have facts to back this up.
So we'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. I think if he plays and if he plays well, that's a big something to watch. He is a tall, physical guy in the same way that, like, when the ball's in the air, he goes and gets it. In the same way that kind of Seth Williams can go kind of take it away from somebody, this guy can do that. He's not – I don't think he's as athletic as Seth Williams in terms of, like, jumping and that kind of stuff. But he's a big physical guy, and I worry particularly, like, Javaris Davis against him, I think, is a size mismatch. Where if Cager plays, they'll try and put him on Javaris Davis and make some stuff happen.
There was a conversation overheard between Derek Brown and Jake Fromm this week. I don't know if you've heard this, but no. I actually have an audio clip of a conversation between Derek Brown and Jake Fromm. The first person you hear speaking will be Jake Fromm. Okay.
Whose funeral is it? Yours.
Nice use of the James Bond clip there.
Thank you. Well, and you know, they got a good running back, but...
Well, we got a cage strong enough to hold an animal like you here.
That's right. Sheriff Pepper.
All right. I got some facts for you about Georgia. You ready?
I don't have facts to back this up.
Got to use it twice. Thank you.
All right. First things, again, Georgia's defense is really, really good. They're the best in the SEC in almost every category at this point in the season. They're the only team in America to not have allowed a rushing touchdown.
That's crazy. Well, we'll take care of that.
Yeah.
We'll fix that. We can fix that problem.
And they've done a lot of good stuff. But just a moment. Who exactly has their defense played to rack up all these stats?
Oh, let's dear. Let's take a look. Let us take a closer look.
Again, we know they played Florida's second-string quarterback. They played Tennessee's backup quarterback, a true freshman making his first start.
Mm.
They played South Carolina's second and third-string quarterbacks. Well. They played Kentucky's third-string quarterback, the receiver.
Heavens.
And they played Missouri's second and third-string quarterbacks.
Goodness.
So
that's a real murderer's row you just listed, by the way.
Yeah. Let's be clear. There's no... there's no Joe Burrow on that list.
That's not a murderer's row. That's a masseuse's row.
Exactly. And so I think just think about the SEC East. Who's really good on offense over there? Nobody. Okay. So their non-conference game was Notre Dame. It was at home. Mm. And the next week, Michigan beat Notre Dame by like 30 points or whatever. So their defense is good, but I think they're a little bit overrated by the fact of kind of who they played and that kind of stuff. I think it's kind of setting them up a little bit. They're solid. They're well coached. They're in good position. But I think the stats overrate how good they actually are on a game-to-game basis. Here's a few more things about them. Again, as I've said before a couple times, they are not prepared for the atmosphere that they're going to walk into in Jordan-Hare on Saturday.
Nope.
Their two road games this season are at Vanderbilt and at Tennessee. So again, Tennessee game, Tennessee was starting a true freshman and their fans thought, you know, knew they had no chance in that game, and Vanderbilt knew the same. So they talked, there was an article today where their players were like, yeah, we remember that game 2 years ago. We're going to be prepared. But until you have played in a road game and seen the level of noise and the intensity and stuff, you aren't prepared, and they are not prepared. So I'm just telling you, that is coming for them again. Now, Fromm 2 years ago as a freshman, and he had a lot of problems with it. He'll do better, but it doesn't mean that the offensive line and people not being able to hear him and stuff are not going to be a problem. It's going to be a big problem for Georgia, the noise and the intensity in that stadium.
I think so.
Here's another one for you. Kirby Smart on the road against SEC West teams is never won a game. He's 0-4.
Whoa. I don't even have a sound effect for that. Whoa. Yeah, because at 17, he lost to us. I know they haven't beaten Alabama yet.
No.
They haven't. Have they not? I guess they haven't played Arkansas or Mississippi State or. Huh. That's interesting. Wow. So.
Nope, they lost at Ole Miss. They lost at Auburn. And lost at LSU last year. And remember, and those three losses, they had three road games against SEC West teams. They've lost all three. And all of those games, none of them were close. Georgia got killed. And you remember last year they went to LSU and LSU beat them by like 20.
I remember them going to Auburn a couple of years ago and what happened. I remember that.
That's
very
right.
Well.
That was 40-17. So, yeah. Georgia has, things have worked out well in their favor. And I think everyone has assumed that this is a team that is, you know, just like the playoff caliber teams that they have been fielding. And they're good in a lot of ways, but I don't think they're the same. I don't think it's the same caliber of team. I think they have offensively, I think they're limited. They don't, I mean, the difference between the playmakers that we saw, you know, for LSU and the playmakers in this team is everything in the world. Swift is still a very good running back. Harrion is good. And those are the guys we got to stop. And those guys ran the ball well on us last year. So I think our defense is going to remember that, and they're going to be kind of pissed off about that. They want to show that, you know, they're better than we showed last year in this game when Georgia kind of ran the ball over us. So the biggest thing, having said all that, is Auburn's got to get something done on offense. And I think Georgia is going to try to take away the run. And they have one really good cornerback. They're going to put him on Seth Williams. And so it's got to be other people making plays. So, you know, Nick's making passes to guys other than Seth Williams. And then we've kind of, as we talked about a couple times, kind of turned the script with the running backs coming into this game, where now we're getting Whitlow back. We got DJ Williams. Those two guys are healthy, and DJ Williams is peaking. He's coming into his own. And I think, you know, that combo is going to be really good for us in this game. And we've switched to Nick Broms at center. I think it's going to give us a little better push. And so I think it'll be enough with those two guys running tough in the second half and with the defense playing a strong game for us to beat them.
Yeah, think about it.
Going to overtime.
Yeah. Think about it, though, folks. John is exactly right. I mean, you know, every year, for as long as I can remember, every year the story of the Auburn-Georgia game is Auburn has a really good player. Oh, he's hurt or something before we play them. Georgia had really good players that got suspended for something and come back, or got hurt and come back just in time for the Auburn game. That's what always happens. We lose players right before the Georgia game. They get players back right before the Georgia game. So it's kind of like we're playing the country music song backwards. You know, we get our running back back. We get our other running back back. We get a nice little week off while they go out and get injured against Missouri, of all things. Mm-hmm. So it really is backwards of how this is supposed to work, and I couldn't be happier. I mean, we may lose the game 60-0, but we can't complain that things are setting up very well for us to do well if we can, you know?
That's right. No, again, Georgia had multiple guys leave that game last week injured. They were playing their second-string center, and, you know, they had a couple of offensive linemen get banged up in that game. So, they have a lot of talented guys on this Georgia team. Probably in terms of guys who are going to get drafted, they're off at the left tackle, Andrew Thomas is probably the best one. And so that'll be a big matchup, like him against Marlon Davidson to watch.
Yeah.
Swift is very good, but like, you know, Fromm is good, but he's not Joe Burrow or Tua. He's more solid and a good decision maker, but he's not going to take the game over and beat you by himself.
Right.
And Georgia want, they need to run the ball to throw the ball. In some ways, they're like Auburn in that. That their passing game works much better when they can run the ball. And if they can't run the ball, it hurts their passing game too. And that's, we know that that's already how Auburn is. That's how Georgia is too. So if our defense can shut down the run, it really causes problems for them. And then it's, and then again, it's really on Cager. They have a younger tight end that's been making some plays the last couple of weeks. We got to watch out for him. And then, you know, the other receiver is the guy, Pickens.
Yeah, we know Pickens.
That we recruited and we're familiar with. So
I hope our defensive backs go Pickens on him Saturday in a big way. Well, I had a question in there. So can we move the ball on Georgia's defense? Am I wrong to be skeptical that we're going to be able to produce a lot? Are we going to try anything creative that we haven't seen yet to try to find something that move the ball? And will we get like a touchdown on the first drive and then never cross the 50 again, which is like our MO?
I don't think that's going to happen. Again, we had struggled in those two road games this year. Okay.
Yeah.
At home, the Auburn offense has been much better, much more productive. And I think Bo Nix has been much more comfortable at home. And while Georgia's defense is really good, I mean, I think the week off to rest up and to focus on Georgia and to be prepared, I think is really going to help this team. And I think playing at home is going to be a huge difference. I think you're going to see a different Bo Nix than we saw in the Florida and LSU games. I think it's going to be a different guy. I think he's going to make plays that he couldn't make in those games, and that's going to be the difference.
That's, well, we have to have that. I don't know what else we – I mean, between, you know, having both running backs back, hopefully, that'll make a difference. And then if Bo can do his thing and not look terrible and the receivers catch the ball, just think about what LSU's offense would look like if they dropped all those passes, including like the times they line up in a five wide empty backfield on a third and short and then drop the ball. Imagine what the LSU fans would be saying, like, what kind of idiot goes five wide in an empty backfield on third and short? This is stupidity. Fire that guy, you know? But when it works, it's brilliant. It's genius. And the only, you know, and the difference between it working and not working is that this 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid catches a ball in the air and doesn't drop it. That's the only, you know, that's what it comes down to. So there's a fine line between genius and stupid, and that's and it it can be defined by how well a kid catches a ball, as crazy as that sounds. So do you think that we'll be able to generate offense?
Yes, I do. I mean, I do. Again, we've talked about this a lot over the years. I think Gus saved stuff for these two games, and I think we're going to see some of that. And I think that the simple fact of having two dependable running backs that we can play, you know, we give them each like 18 carries and then, a couple others here and there to Shivers or whatever. I think that makes a big difference. We're not, you know, going to be spending carries on these other guys. It's going to be DJ Williams and Whitlow. And one of them will be, you know, the second half guy that we've, that kind of pattern we've talked about, and it'll be kind of the take it home. So whichever one they want to do for that will be that. And I think it's going to work. I mean, I think they're going to move the ball enough. And I think, we'll be smarter about using Schwartz in the sweep and as a decoy and stuff, if they're all focused on taking away Seth Williams, to do enough. And I also like, I think, again, there'll be some of those other things, whether it's a little couple of passes to J.J. Wilson or Spencer Nye or the running backs or whatever, that'll give us enough offense to be able to get it done.
Those have been very big plays this season, has been when they've been able to pick up those two big dudes in the passing game. They haven't done it enough for my taste, honestly, but, you know.
I want to point this out just because I think it's such a dramatic difference. I want to read you Bo Nix's stats at home and on the road.
Okay.
And I know two of the home games are Kent State and Tulane. I get that. Okay. but he's played 4 games at home and 5 games either on the road or on a neutral site. At home, his completion percentage is 65%. On the road, it's 48%. All right.
Wow.
At home, he has 4 TDs and 0 interceptions. On the road, he has 8 TDs and 6 interceptions.
Dang.
And at home, his passer rating is 150, and on the road, it's 108. So, I mean, it's just it's a big, big, big difference. He's more comfortable at home. That's not all about the quality competition. He's more comfortable there, and it's easier to operate at home when the other team's fans aren't going bonkers. So I think
we didn't play Oregon, Texas A&M, Florida, or LSU at home.
No, we didn't.
None of them.
So those are tough teams to play away.
Our home schedule looks like Alabama's schedule. So, all right. Any last thoughts about Georgia before we move on to other matters?
No, other than, I think we haven't seen this Auburn team play their best game, and I think we're going to see it on Saturday.
And we'll have more to say about Georgia, and we'll hear what Brandon has to say about Georgia on Friday on the video show, because video killed the radio star. That's right. So we're all set to do some video. I hope it won't kill our podcasting star. We do not have Jared's superhero analogy battle this week because we didn't play anybody this week. I'll pass along any Eagle updates that I get as they come available. But for right now, we don't have any information on that. But we do have...
Oh, my God!
Holy cow! Oh, my God!
And I say you!
It is the SEC Power Poll! Go.
That was dramatic.
It was. I'm still working on a theme song for you now that the season's almost over.
All right. So, in a shocking development, Arkansas is at the bottom.
Yeah, I'm stunned.
Like, it's really a big drop-off from Vanderbilt to them. Like, So then it's Arkansas at the very bottom, then Vanderbilt, then kind of a tier of Missouri, South Carolina, Kentucky, Mississippi State slightly above that.
Huh.
But I would say Mississippi State's in a tier with Ole Miss and Tennessee, kind of a mediocre middle.
Yeah,
right?
Mediocre middle. I like it.
And then Texas A&M by itself.
Mm.
Then basically Auburn, Florida, and Georgia, like Florida lowest, then Auburn, then Georgia, all basically about tied.
Okay.
Then Alabama slightly ahead of that group, and then LSU far and away in front.
Wow. And yet – it was just the national. In the national rankings, I believe I heard that Ohio State is still ranked ahead of LSU.
Well, the playoff rankings don't come out again until tomorrow.
Oh, I thought
they come out Tuesday night. So what you heard was the AP poll.
And in the AP, Ohio State's ahead of LSU?
Yeah.
So am I right to think that AP voters
smoke weed every day?
Is that what – I mean, come on. Who's – LSU's
– not-
I just can't. Surely the playoff committee will have LSU first, right?
Probably, but I'm absolutely not going to lose sleep about it if they're not.
No, I'm not losing sleep. It just seems silly, but okay, fine. Well, anyway, all right, there's the SEC Power Poll. If you want to be an official SEC Power Poll voter, and there's only a few weeks left in the season to get to do it, but if you want to do that, all you got to do is be a patron. Just go to www.auwishbone.com. And click on the Become a Patron thing. It'll take you through the process at patreon.com to let you sign up to do it. For as little as a dollar a month, though, we appreciate, you know, whatever you're able to contribute. Some do lots, some do little, and it all helps. So I have a note here, but we already talked about the live video shows. That's something that is the patrons have allowed to be able to happen because we were able to get a little bit more equipment and be able to set up for that and have a better, faster feed. I don't know if I said, but yeah, if you join us for the live, the live video shows, you can actually post comments on the screen that I can pop up and John and I can discuss and answer and comments and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun. It's a real fun time. Let's see. I already have last Sunday's audio up in the podcast feed, and I have the new one going up, I believe, Thursday. So I got to thank our patrons that make all of this possible. We keep trying to add new features, and we've always done that. You know, we've always experimented with things that we would, you know, whether it works or it doesn't, we always try different things, right? I mean, we tried video a couple of years ago, and it didn't work as great as we liked, so we kind of backed away from it, and the technology got better, and we're doing it again, thanks mostly to Jared, because Jared suggested using this this StreamYard deal that we're using, and that's worked really well. We appreciate his contributions all the time to the show. But in any case, I got to thank our current patrons, and we have over 100 now, so on Friday we will be doing that drawing. So here now are our current patrons that we appreciate. Matthew Flowers, Carl Von Drunker, Samuel Salvatore, and Christopher Burleson. You guys are awesome as always, and we really appreciate you. Then there's Phil Amthor, Ben Spooner, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan KSC. And John, he sent a question in right before the show. It was in email. I don't know if you saw it or not, but I want to make sure he gets in there. Wynn Carroll, Brian Gray, Winston Boddy, Willie Carden, and Willie, you have done an awesome Beyond the Call of Duty thing this week, and we appreciate you. And hopefully get to see you on Friday or Saturday. Tom Anderson, Susan Trawick, Logan Chilton, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, and Richard Stevens. Hoping to see Richard, of course, too. Of course, some of the other people, too. William Morgan, Phil Davis, Joshua Corbett, John Otsuki, Preston Settle, Daniel Odom, AU Falling Up, Alchemist, Kevin Smith, Clarence Alford, Will Summerford, David Hegler, Johnny Caldwell, Theodore Gary, Reynolds Wolf, Joel Beckham, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, George Gaston, John McCune, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, Jared Albrecht, William Glenn Matthews, Stephen Houston, Cato the Barner, Danny Flack, Papa Todd, Russell Milling, Kevin Kenoy, Don Zederman, Ross, Lane Middleton, Shannon Butson, Randall Walker, Mickey B, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Tony Perry, Alex Wynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, and C.T. Wayne. And we're in the final home stretch here. Jeremy Minton, Wardam Wade, Spanky, J.W. Rice, Jason Albrecht, Kevin Mahan, Stephen Wyatt, Trevor Johnson, Auburn Elvis, we'll see you coming up on Friday, Robert Drain, Brandon Smith, Royce Alvarez, Thomas Brinson, David Smiley, Matthew Wagstaff, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, Darren Pyle, Chris Camo. I had a lot of little pieces of paper I had to cut out, John, quite a stack. Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Chris, and Brant Rumble. And I also wanted to thank, we had a special bonus come in. Oh, crap. I had to go and look. But there's another special guest that may stop by on Friday, and that is John Carvalho from the Auburn Journalism Department. He said he was going to tell his students who are not going to be in class that day because of a special thing going on, and he's going to try to come by. So that would be really cool. Oh, and I wanted to give a special thanks to Neil Dyer, because Neil occasionally sends us in like a bonus, and that's awesome of him, and we appreciate it, Neil. You're awesome. So hopefully we'll get to see John Carvalho, and we'll get to see Brandon Marcello. And I said that with all this journalistic excellence, you and I, John, will be there to show the students what not to do. Don't do anything that John and I do if you want a successful career, because we are the drive-by shooting of sports journalism, as we've said for many years.
Ow.
www.auwishbone.com. Almost credible sports journalism. AUWishbone. www.auwishbone.com. And tell the friends about a show. Tell your friends about us and get us to listen. All right. I guess I should say now.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
And I say you.
There it is. Let's do it. What we got?
All right. First question comes from Josh Corbett, who says, going back to the Georgia thing, he says, what about the Georgia defense gets you excited that Auburn can move the ball on them?
Yeah, that's kind of what good question. That's where I was going.
Again, I would say that they're good. They're very solid. The stats are very impressive. The best defenses they have faced are about 50th in the country.
Hmm.
Okay, in yards per play.
Yeah.
So that's Arkansas State and Notre Dame are the best two offenses they have faced.
Wow.
They are good. I mean, they're disciplined. They're well coached. They have a lot of high profile guys. They have a couple of, five star kids that are rushing the passer for them. But they haven't Auburn has more talent on offense than any team they have faced, and Auburn is going to operate better at home than we did on the road against good defenses. I think people are going to see that.
You know who I'd like to have a breakout game on Saturday? Could make a difference.
Now, when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy king. King
Tut. Christian Tut.
How'd you get so funky?
Christian Tut.
Did you do the monkey?
Born in Arizona.
Auburn. Tut. That's who I think would have. That would, a special teams breakout, John.
That'd be big. And we got to tighten up our punt return coverage. Do you know who Georgia's punt return guy is?
I do not. Vince Dooley.
He's the son of Mookie Blaylock.
Really?
Yes. Who played basketball at Oklahoma and for the Hawks. So.
That's right. And was the original name of Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah. All right. Our next question comes from Rusty Owens, and he's a question again about the Georgia defense. He said, first, just a statement. I recently changed jobs from a company mainly in Alabama. I now work for a company with equal presence in Georgia and Alabama. Mm. I will be in Georgia the Monday after the Georgia game, and I really hope we win because I can't imagine the heck I will catch if we lose. We sympathize with that. So he says, now a question. I've heard all day the Georgia defense is the best we will face all year. Is that true, and what strengths do they have that will cause us issues?
I think you've made the point that they're not like, and others have made the point, that they're not like super loaded in one place like our defensive line outshadows everything. I would say that like we have like a 10 out of 10 on the defensive line, yes, and then a little bit less behind that. But they're kind of like an 8 everywhere. Is that fair?
Yes. And again, like I think that's a good way to put it. They're more like, I would say, comparable to Oregon's defense. They don't have the, you know, the rushers, the edge rushers that Florida had. They don't have the defensive backs that LSU had. So I think it's a more balanced kind of defense. They have a lot of depth. I mean, they play, you know, 20, 22 guys on defense on a regular basis. They play a lot of guys, and that helps them. I think the biggest thing is just that, you know, and the other thing I would say is there are a lot of very good players, and I'm sure there are a lot of future NFL players, but there are no superstars on that defense. There's no Roquan Smith, DeAndre Baker, and there's no, like, you compare them to some of the Alabama LSU defenses we played in the last few years. There's none of those guys who are like top 10 picks on that kind of defense. So they're solid. They make plays. They tackle well in space. You don't see them get fooled very often. They're in position, and they're strong at the point of attack. So Auburn's going to have to be good in this game. But I think, you know, I think we have some guys that can make plays in space when they get one-on-one like they're going to be with the Georgia players. And, I just think over the course of the game, that Whitlow and Williams running the ball on them we're going to be able to have enough success to take the pressure off Bo Nix to let him make a couple of passes.
That would be nice.
All right, our next question comes from Gary Grant, who you're pointing out, whose Twitter handle is AUFan at KSC. Who says, "Hey guys, I think my questions are maybe more rhetorical or therapeutic than actually inquisitive." He says, "Am I delusional to be encouraged and optimistic about the direction of our offense going into the Georgia game and beyond?" He says, "Personally, I was very pleased with the offensive plan against Ole Miss for a few reasons. Bo spread the ball around to many receivers. Mm-hmm. We weren't quite as predictable. Mm-hmm. And we gave Bo a lot of nice short throws and even a couple to the middle of the field." Mm-hmm. He says, "I have a funny feeling our running game could surprise some people this weekend and help lead us to more points than our offense has been producing."
It would be nice. It would just be nice to get a big win. I mean, the A&M win was big at the time. The Oregon win was big, period, and looking bigger every day. But it's still, you know, first game of the season in a neutral site beating Oregon is not the same as beating Georgia in Jordan-Hare at the end of the year. You know what I mean?
Nope.
I want that big. I'd like to beat both of them, Alabama too. But heavens above, I just want that one big win. I just need at least one big win this year. Beyond what we've gotten so far, that was arguably.
The other thing I'm going to say about in terms of Georgia's defense is Auburn's offense is by far the fastest offense they have faced. They haven't faced an offense that has guys like Schwartz and Shivers and other guys like that that can. And until you face those guys in person, you're not prepared for, you know, dealing with the things. All right. Our next question comes from Samuel Salvatore, who says, "Hey guys, and War Eagle beat UGA.
That's right."
He says, "Do you think Paul Feinbaum is just as evil for giving publicity to a guy who not only killed the tumor trees, but isn't paying his fines or appearing in court? And also, doesn't it make you hate the Bama fans for cheering after he told Paul they were only trees? Or does it make you want to laugh and say karma's a bitch after they lost LSU?"
No, nothing makes up. No one loss makes up for that. The one thing I'll say is I saw that that Feinbaum was saying, "Well, we didn't know it was him until he was already on the air talking." And somebody pointed out you had his name on the screen, and he talked to the screeners, and they put it on there before they even started talking to him. So give me a break.
And he was on a long time, but he was on air like 15 minutes, like that. I'm sorry, it was a what can we do to get ratings?
Yeah.
What can we do to draw in people? It was not a.
An accident.
I don't think Feinbaum has a very defensible position
here. No.
Danny Buckles asks, "Guys, it seemed the Arkansas job opened up today. Any chance Gus is on the radar?"
I think that I think that they've been down that road once now, and I think they'll probably look somewhere else. I do like we talked pretty extensively on the video show yesterday about Mike Leach being a possibility. I listened to one of the podcasts, though, this morning. And I think I listened to some of Andy Staples and I listened to some of the Audible, and they neither one of them said much about, if anything, about the Audible guys mentioned everybody but Mike Leach, which surprised me. So who knows?
I think they may make a move. We'll see what happens with, you know, these games that Auburn still has to play, but Arkansas is probably going to call Gus again. I mean, we're heading down this freaking 2017 road again in this scenario.
Yeah.
Because they
Ends the same way. I hope it ends exactly the same way.
Amen. But I think, you know, the other side of the scenario is out there too, where, and I think this is something that Bruce Feldman wrote about in his column today, where he was talking about candidates for the Arkansas job, where say Auburn loses both these games to Georgia and Alabama and the fans are unhappy. Auburn and Malzahn negotiate a smaller settlement where it's a few million dollars. Arkansas pays it. Malzahn leaves and goes to Arkansas, and then Auburn has a coaching search.
Yeah.
So,
hey, I asked this question on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it. When was the last time Auburn beat Georgia and didn't go to the SEC championship game? Which would be what would happen probably if we beat them this year.
I don't know. I'm thinking back and back and back.
It is 2005, the Cox to Roma Shadu game.
Wow.
Fourth down. Yep. And the last time we beat Alabama without going to the SEC championship game was 2007, which was the last Iron Bowl I attended in person. That was Nick Saban's first year. We beat him, but we did not win the West. LSU went on to win the national championship, quote unquote, that year. One of their alleged.
Our last question, Chris Thrash says, can we please hire, if Malzahn is forced out or gets fired, or gets tired of the job and leaves and goes to Arkansas, can we please hire a coach that has no connections to that state? Arkansas, we've been dealing with the piggies wanting our coach for the last 20 years.
That's true. Yeah. Chizik was the only one that we couldn't ship off to Arkansas if we wanted to. Yeah. I guess we could get Houston Nutt. Oh! I wonder what Danny Ford's up to these days.
Is he still alive?
I don't know. It's a good question. Hey, you know who coached at Arkansas? People forget. Lou Holtz. We could get Lou.
Oh, good gosh.
Ken Hatfield is out there. I'm running out of Arkansas coaches. Oh, John L. Smith.
Oh, good gosh.
Oh, you know what? I forgot the one Arkansas coach I haven't named. And you know, there's still Auburn people that want him. There's still Auburn people that want him, John. Dare we say the name?
No. We're not hiring Bobby Petrino.
You said it. You said it. There he comes, our savior himself, Bobby Petrino. Wow. Wow. All right. Any other listener questions?
Yeah, that's it.
I got to towel myself off after that listener question session. Wow. let's take a trip. We are taking a trip this week around the SEC, or to just part of it.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
Yeah, we're heading down to we're heading down the Auburn Highway, looking for Jordan Hare Stadium. That's gonna be good. So,
B-52s were from Athens.
Oh shoot! Yeah, this is the one week of the year I shouldn't play that song, huh? That's no good. Well, I did mention we did a video show yesterday, Sunday, and in it we talked about some non-SEC really amazing games this weekend. We didn't even talk about the Michigan State Illinois game. I didn't know my boys up here in Illinois pulled out the biggest comeback in school history on Michigan State. That was crazy. I saw the highlights of that. But there were some pretty amazing games. Again, we talked for 20-30 minutes on the video show about LSU Alabama. So if you haven't listened to the bonus episode in the podcast, it's the one right before this one. Any other thoughts about that game? You want to get on to the big Western Kentucky beatdown?
I think, you know, A, Alabama fans whining about officiating, and B, Alabama fans whining about what Orgeron said after the game are, you know, just fine. That just warms my heart.
And then what he said was, cookies! let's see. Western Kentucky beat Arkansas like a drum, and then Arkansas fired their coach. So there's that. And you pointed out that Western Kentucky's quarterback was somebody that Arkansas ran off. Is that correct? I didn't know that.
Yes. No, the Arkansas coaches chose not to keep him. They ran him off to recruit a couple of these grad transfers they've been playing all year, and he came back and torched them.
I get they didn't look at the schedule and see, and karma happens that way.
Well, they knew, and he knew, but they thought, we'll be better than them. What are we worried about?
Well, apparently they weren't anywhere near as good as them. Florida beat Vanderbilt 56-0. Good heavens, Vanderbilt. Show some self-respect. Ole Miss beat New Mexico 41-3. That's cool. I guess, you know, Ole Miss is getting there. I have a feeling in a couple of years we're going to start worrying about Ole Miss again. Not that we didn't worry about them for a few minutes, you know, like last week.
Last week.
Oh, I was way more worried than I had any right to be for that game. But, yeah. Now, South Carolina, for the love of all that's holy, South Carolina, you beat Georgia. I mean, what is it with the SEC East, John? Missouri beats all the good teams they play up until Saturday, and then goes and loses to Wyoming. And who else did Missouri lose to? Somebody, Vanderbilt. Yeah, they got dunked by Vanderbilt, and they lost at Wyoming. And what they're doing going to Wyoming, I don't know. Well, I mean, South Carolina beats Georgia and then turns around and loses to Appalachian State. And I know that they're a giant killer, but still. If you can beat Georgia, you can beat Appalachian State, for crying out loud. Well, I mean, am I crazy here? What?
I mean, South Carolina is like a bad version of this Auburn team, okay? they're good on defense, and they're really – you think Auburn's bad on offense. They're really mediocre on offense. They're bad on offense. And they just want to muck the game up and do that Will Muschamp thing where they make it a kind of an ugly defensive game, and then they've kind of got you where they want you.
Yeah.
And, you know, Appalachian State was just better than them. Again, they're playing their backup quarterbacks and all that kind of stuff. But still, it was a home game against a team they should beat, and they didn't.
No, they did not. Georgia had a rough – I mean, for a 27-0 game, Missouri was hanging in there for a while and making it look like –
Yeah, I watched almost all of this game, and it was – it was 27-0, but Missouri was playing like a freshman quarterback, like, you know, the grad transfer from Clemson, Kelly, didn't play. So, they still moved the ball against Georgia a good bit.
Mm-hmm. And Georgia was kicking a lot of field goals.
Yeah. And again, Missouri's defense held Georgia to a bunch of field goals. This is the other side of this.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, and I knew there was something else, was that the score is a little deceptive because Georgia got a touchdown with a two-point conversion late. It was like 19-0. So they had like a touchdown and then field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal for most of the game until that last. They only got two touchdowns. And out of 27-0, there's only two touchdowns in there. And one of them was kind of a garbage late touchdown. So they really, in the entire game, up until the garbage time, they only scored one touchdown.
So again, I just want to throw these numbers at you. Home game against Notre Dame, Georgia scored 23. Okay. Home game against South Carolina, they scored 17. Home game against Kentucky, they scored 21.
Yeah, and that was 0-0 like in the late third quarter.
It was. Neutral site game against Florida, they scored 24. Home game against Missouri, they scored 27. Okay, none of those teams' defenses are on the same planet with Auburn's. Okay, so
not even close.
Just, you know, unless Auburn contributes something to them in terms of a special teams thing or a turnover or whatever, we can hold Georgia to less than 20 points. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's the path to winning this game.
Well, as you and I have talked about, though, we'll hold them to below 20 points unless our offense is punting every three or four plays and Georgia's out there with our defense on the field for 80 or 90 plays. Because that's when you start giving up the 80-yard runs is when your defense is just worn out. So we've got to give our defense just a little bit of help. Even if you don't score a lot, you got to just keep the Auburn defense off the field for as much of the game as possible.
Yes.
And then Tennessee beat Kentucky. That was one I watched the highlights of, and I still have no recollection of it. It was just kind of a blah game, wasn't it?
Again, it was a home game for Tennessee and for Kentucky. They were winning a good bit of the game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Kentucky was leading most of the game, and Tennessee scored a touchdown late, right?
Yeah, and they brought in Garantano, and he played the whole second half, and he played really well. They were losing. I mean, Kentucky was up at halftime. Mm-hmm. I don't know, 13-3 or something.
Running like a – not even pretending to throw the ball.
No. Again, Kentucky's playing their third-string quarterback, who's a wide receiver at quarterback the whole season.
Yeah.
And they really probably should have beat Tennessee. But you got to give Pruitt credit. Tennessee is getting better.
Yeah.
They are absolutely positively improving.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Kentucky was just looked like Georgia Tech almost, except without actual run talent. They were running up the middle, doing the pitch, everything. Yeah, it was interesting. If you haven't seen the highlights of that game, it is interesting to watch, just to see the Kentucky trying to create some kind of offense out of nothing. Well, let's see. Coming up this week, I was going to point out, we made a big deal about Alabama struggling to just barely beat Tennessee. People forget now how close that game was. It's like with the LSU game coming up, we forget. But they barely beat Tennessee. That may end up being their best win. Right now, it probably is, isn't it?
A&M is their best win. They beat A&M, and A&M 6-3. A&M's three losses are Auburn, Alabama, and Clemson.
Okay,
but they still have Georgia and LSU.
Yeah, exactly. So they may, you know, knowing Tennessee's end of the year schedule, I don't even know what their record is right now. But they usually close with very soft teams. They'll get a win over Vanderbilt. They'll get a win over. They got a win over Kentucky. That's usually how they close it.
Tennessee is 5-5. And they got Missouri on the road and Vanderbilt at home.
So they're going to a bowl at least, and they could be 7-5, which would be the same as A&M, so possibly. So, all right. Alabama, in other words, needs to beat us, and that worries me. I worry that Alabama is going to come into our game very motivated, needing to get that win. So we'll see.
We're not to Alabama week yet, but I'm going to say this. It's been 2 days, and I'm already sick of the Alabama should get into the playoff anyway talk.
Oh, geez.
So I'm very motivated to beat them.
Absolutely. Suit us up, man. I'll go out there with I'll have a serious anger on. Well, coming up, Alabama at Mississippi State, and this is absolutely another.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
Because Mississippi State never beats Alabama. It's just like it's a law. You just don't. And so it would be great if one day it could happen, but they just don't. Florida at Missouri. I guess Florida's going to win, but Missouri plays a lot better at home, don't they?
Yeah, but we'll see if they get Kelly Bryant back. I think that would make a big difference.
That would help, sure. Florida, don't go out there and lose to Missouri after everything you've been this year, because that would really just bum me out. I really want to be able to say when this year is over that our only two losses were to number one LSU and a good Florida team, not a Florida team that goes and loses to Missouri. Kentucky at Vanderbilt, that's like That's like the two cars at the back of the race that are on fire with smoke and oil coming out. And it's like, which one can the driver get out and push across the finish line first, right?
Yes.
And is Vanderbilt going to change coaches? And if so, why? What difference
because
does it make?
Because they've gotten worse and not better. That's why.
All that James Franklin did was give them a taste of what it could be, and now they're going to like keep changing.
That's going to poison the well for another 10 years, probably.
For another 10 years, exactly. LSU at Ole Miss. Now I'll give you the same story I gave Florida LSU. Don't mess this up, okay? Ole Miss is not a cupcake. They're not great, but if you go out there all full of yourselves from that Alabama game with a hangover. Well, I believe, as the Admiral once said,
it's a trap.
Exactly. You need to be careful. Now, LSU should beat them by 30, but they need to be careful. Is that fair?
That's fair. And again, like, you're right. It's LSU has gone home. They won the biggest game in program, you know, in the last 10 years for that program.
Easily.
They're going to be everybody telling them the greatest things is sliced bread. And you're right. They got to focus.
Yep. And it's not going to be easy. But I think they'll get it done easily. But they'll get it done in the fourth quarter. But I predict that game is going to be closer than it should be, at least for the first half.
Yep.
And then South Carolina at Texas A&M. You got to think A&M wins that, right?
Yep.
Surely enough. So, all right. Well, that gets us to the end of another installment. We'll be packing up Wednesday and then taking off, blowing out of here Thursday afternoon, heading south. I can't wait. Looking forward to it. Any last thoughts about the what we're walking into on this weekend and the basketball game, the football game, the live show, everything?
I really look forward to seeing people. It was one of the great things about last year's live show weekend was seeing a bunch of people who are fans of the show and talking to them and hearing about what they think and how they feel about stuff. And I wanted to say, I know I heard from some Auburn fans who were unhappy with my comments about Gus last week. And I understand that. I think I had been pretty critical of Gus at times this year. I think I was pretty critical of him after the LSU game and after the Florida game. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference between being critical and thinking he should be fired. And so it's kind of how I feel about it. But I'm very excited about this Georgia trip, and I'm looking forward to going down there with you and seeing the fans and seeing people and talking to people. And I think, you know, this is the game our defense was designed to play.
Yeah.
This kind of team, a team that wants to run the ball in kind of an old school way, in a conservative kind of offense, that is exactly who this defense is built for. They perform well against LSU, but that is, you know, the other side of the coin, and I think we're going to be in good shape against Georgia.
Well, and not only looking forward to seeing everybody, which was awesome, but getting to see you, because it's about the only time we get to see each other anymore. You know, we've got stuff going on in your part of the world, my part of the world, and it's cool to get to hang out for a couple of days, so that'll be awesome. So, all right. Well, we will reconvene this on Friday at the bookstore, and until then, War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of?
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.